Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
Legalized marijuana is always a very difficult question.
The time is long overdue for us to remove the federal prohibition on marijuana.
From now on, I smoke weed exclusively with white people.
Well, I'm getting higher next time.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy Poop Dog.
There's definitely cannabis in there, and it makes sure that I can sleep now.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Don't piss off your old dealer.
Marijuana is not the kind of thing that ought to be legalized.
I know you're not supposed to admit that you smoke pot, but I don't drink alcohol.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
I used to smoke marijuana.
I don't care if an adult wants to smoke marijuana. They shouldn't go to prison for it either.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for Toker Talk Radio. Thanks for being here live on show number 908. And longtime listeners will recognize 908 as being kind of a significant number to me. It was in May of 2012 that I hosted episode number 908 of Normal Show Live. As the podcast that I had produced for the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws since 2008. And I did 908 episodes with Normal before I got myself fired. So today marks the day that as an independent podcaster all by myself, seeking my own bookings, my own stories, my own advertisers, my own sponsors, my own web development, everything on my shoulders, today marks the day that I have equaled my output with Normal under a salary. So I am somewhat thrilled about this. Thank you. Because when I got myself fired, it was kind of like out of like my stubborn nature. I was like, I'll show them, by God. I'll just keep podcasting. I'll just keep doing it. We'll see if we can make it a job. And it has been kind of, sort of, could pay a little better, but it's been a good time. So tomorrow, folks, if you join us tomorrow we're in uncharted waters. Tomorrow will be show number 909, more shows than I've ever done in one particular show. So thank you all you supporters out there who've been helping me out with this. All right, I wanted to get to this other comment from Jeff Sessions that we didn't focus on.
I think medical marijuana has been hyped maybe too much. It's possible that some dosages can be constructed in a way that might be beneficial. I acknowledge that. But have you ever just smoked marijuana, for example, where you have no idea how much THC you're getting, is probably not a good way to administer a medicinal amount. So forgive me if I'm a bit dubious about that.
Yeah, no forgiving. Sorry. But this is interesting because it does reveal some of the ways these people think about medical marijuana, right? They come at it from the idea of, well, there could be chemicals in marijuana, THC, CBD, and if we process them and extract them and put them into pills and inhalers and tinctures, and we know exactly if we give you this pill, it's got this amount of THC in it. Well, then it could be a medicine. You'd know exactly how much you're getting. You'd know exactly what's in it. That's medicine. Why, just lighting a herb on fire and inhaling its smoke, that seems like a terrible way to be giving people medicine. And what they don't understand when they make that is, first of all, they're ignorant of current medical technology in the first place, right? There are plenty of inhaled medicines, plenty of inhaled steroids. You see the thing, the asthma folks, you little asthma inhalers and stuff that people have. There's all sorts of drugs now that are given to people through nasal inhalers or just regular spray inhalers and such. And the reason why those drugs are given that way, because inhalation provides the quickest and most effective way for people to take those drugs. When you can't breathe from asthma, asking someone to swallow a pill is not an efficient way to treat them. It's not going to help them to wait 45 minutes for the drug to kick in when they can't breathe. Well, the same concept applies to medical marijuana, Jeff Sessions. My God, the self-titrating nature of being, I know I'm preaching to the choir here on this show, but my God, I wish people could get their heads around the idea that inhaling this substance is the best way for many people to use it. And they'll decry it. They'll say, oh, some people will be like, well, vaporization's okay, but not smoking. We can vaporize, but not smoke. Well, vaporization's a pain in the ass. Your battery runs out of power. The cartridge gets gooed up and won't work and won't deliver anything. You can't find a cartridge anywhere. A joint, you can slip into your pocket. You can roll it anywhere. You can light it. All you need is a lighter. So it's efficient, it's transportable, it's easy, it's cheap, and it's effective because the people using it inhale. Do I feel better? Okay, we're done. Do I not feel better? I'll inhale again. Do I feel better now? No, I'll inhale again. Am I better now? Yes. That's how it works, Jeff Sessions.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
We're definitely here. Oh my God,
I'm so excited. Go.
You have to get like
nose, your eyebrows.
Well, sit off.
Who are you going to be?
Maybe on the belly button.
We know you look so cool.
And your lips.
That'd be awesome.
You really think so? Maybe. Maybe just my nose.
Your friends can't talk you into doing something you really don't want to.
Next.
Or can they?
You'll be known as the coolest person.
Don't want to? Don't have to.
I'm out of here.
This has been the Russ Belville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs. We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning, it's taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Bueller.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. As you know, yesterday I published a piece on WeedNews.co. It's entitled, DEA Reiterates Hemp CBD is Illegal. And I have a graphic for it. On the graphic, it's the U.S. Department of Justice Drug Enforcement Administration logo. And next to that logo, I have, in big red letters, hemp-derived CBD oil is illegal. And I've placed these over the picture of Medical Marijuana Inc.'s RSHO product, their real scientific hemp oil product. They're currently selling for $174.90 a gram. Well, it's a 4-ounce bottle, But the 4 ounce bottle has 1,000 milligrams of CBD. So a gram of CBD plus whatever else. Right. And in the story, I thought that I had made pains to be clear that this was about the DEA saying that there's no such thing as hemp-derived CBD oil because the place they're claiming to get their hemp-derived CBD, so-called legal hemp stocks and legal seeds that are exempted from the Controlled Substance Act's definition of marijuana, the DEA says there's no scientific way they could get that much CBD from the stocks and the seeds, except for the resin that sticks to the stocks and the seeds, but the resin is accepted from the exception and is specifically illegal. And my criticism, and I thought I was clear about my criticism, was with companies like Medical Marijuana Inc. and other sellers, purveyors of these CBD oils, telling people in their marketing, it's 100% legal in all 50 states. I've heard that so many times. It's 100% legal in all 50 states. So I bring this back up because I got a critique on this via YouTube, believe it or not. The last place in the world you'd think you'd get intelligent conversation. But I got a critique on this. And I want to read this critique to you. And then we'll talk about it. So this is what one of the critics out there had to say about my post. I just finished reading your article and I have a few things to say. First, the opening graphic on the article page is highly sensational and misleading to consumers. It follows a trend that I have been dismayed to notice over the last few months, which both demonizes and delegitimizes the CBD industry, which, for someone who reputedly professes to be an exponent of marijuana reform, seems to be a counterintuitive stance to take. All right, time out. First, I have to chuckle to myself at being called an exponent, not a proponent, an exponent of marijuana reform, because that's a math pun. Given that my name's Radical Russ, that's a great math pun. I love that. Inadvertent as it is, brilliant. But first of all, I don't think that my graphic was sensational. The DEA is saying hemp-derived CBD oil is illegal. That's what my graphic says. So I don't understand why that is demonizing or delegitimizing the CBD industry. All right, so we'll continue. In the critique, it says, secondly, the article itself. Very well written, Russ. Your grammar, spelling, and command of the English language are laudable. However, the general tone is pejorative. He means pejorative. Is pejorative and naysaying toward the CBD industry. I agree that artificially raising prices to exploit people in search of relief is unethical, but you're missing the blatant point that not every CBD company does that. In your imagery and links, you reference RSHO, one of the most overpriced CBD companies in the industry. I myself am a contractor for a CBD company with notable market share, and when releasing new products, we often compare our pricing and dosage to RSHO, since their products are absurdly high-priced and low dosage. Okay, and here's where we have agreement, right? Because I agree, RSHO and Medical Marijuana Inc. are exploiting people. They're taking advantage of their desperation, absolutely. But the point I was making didn't have to do so much with the pricing as the part of the legal in all 50 states part. That's the part we've got a problem with here. So if your company is trying to sell product by telling people it's legal in all 50 states, that's where we're going to have the issue. He continues by saying, quote, but again, not every manufacturer of CBD products on the general market is exploitive. Our company, for instance, is more geared toward an elderly demographic who are disillusioned with contemporary pain management practices. Tell me, Russ, how is it wrong to give people a safe and alternative to opiates, which in the end is actually cheaper than the pharmaceutical option? And even in the case of parents with children with Dravet's syndrome buying CBD to save their child's life, yes, in a communist utopia, this medicine would be free, but thank God America is still a capitalist society, and when you're trying to save your child's life, the price might just be right. We should encourage competition in the CBD marketplace, which lowers prices, rather than lumping together and demonizing companies that provide a safe and effective solution to debilitating or life-threatening diseases that are untreatable with conventional options. I don't find myself doing that at all in this piece, and I've numerous times brought up how cannabidiol oil is helpful to the people, for the kids with Dravet syndrome and so forth. I never said that it should be a communist utopia or that people shouldn't make money producing these things. The sole criticism I had in this particular article was that companies are saying it's 100% legal in all 50 states when it clearly is not. And a side criticism of RSHO, you know, jacking their price up to $175 for 1 gram of CBD. He concludes by saying, beyond that, your summary of the current legal situation regarding CBD is accurate and comprehensive. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate your attention to detail. I just disagree with your tone of general condemnation toward an entire industry that you represent with one single company and their iffy practices. We're not all evil, Russ, and please don't make good people's lives harder by posting sensationalist garbage. Okay. I think I'm making people's lives better by pointing out the fact that some companies out there, and I didn't say yours, I said one and others, keep saying that it's 100% legal in all 50 states. Now, is someone going to get busted for buying hemp CBD products to treat their kid with Gervais? No, that's probably not going to happen. There's too much risk, not enough reward for the DEA to go bust people for that. Or for states, for that matter, to be busting people for that. That puts a mom, crying mom with an epileptic kid on the evening news. They're not going to go and do that. Is there likely to be busts of the shops that sell this stuff or the manufacturers that make this stuff? Maybe, or maybe not. But again, whether or not there is going to be prosecution isn't the issue. The issue here is, are you giving your consumers a fair understanding of what they're getting involved in? And that as far as the federal government's concerned, these CBD products are illegal. Are you giving them all the information they need to make an informed decision? I'm all for people putting out CBD products. I support them making money at it so long as they're not price gouging. I support all those things. I support more competition within the market. I support promoting this over the use of opioids. I support CBD and other marijuana medicines as the medicine of first resort rather than the medicine of last resort. But if you're going out there and telling people that your stuff is 100% legal when it's not, then we've got a problem. And it doesn't even matter whether or not the DEA's interpretation is accurate. Some people argued to me that, yeah, we know the DEA says that, but it'll be just like the 2000 case with the hemp foods. And then we'll go through and the farm bill will say this. And then our legal theory tells us that if the stocks and it comes from Europe and it's a hemp, blah, 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 doesn't matter. You may be right. You may be right that the person who has the shop, who gets arrested, who takes it to trial and loses it trial and takes it to appeal and loses it appeal and then takes it to a higher level of appeal would actually win that case on appeal and set precedent. Maybe so. But does that person know they're getting themselves involved in that long, lengthy legal battle? Have they been fully made aware of what they're getting into? That's my only issue. That's the only thing I got going here. But I thank you so much for the comment and the criticism, because so rare that I get anything intelligent coming across my way. Speaking of unintelligent things crossing my way, Kevin Sabet and the folks at Project Sam are making a lot of hay out of a report that's come out of a company called Fair Warning. They did this report on black leaders who are battling menthol restrictions on cigarettes, because, you know, black folks tend to smoke Newports and Cools. They like that menthol taste thing. And in this article, it discusses how Neil Franklin of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition and Art Way of Drug Policy Alliance, two African-American leaders in legalization movement, appeared on panels that were produced by R.J. Reynolds to fight these restrictions on menthol cigarettes. And so Kevin Sabet's pointing, you know, waving the flag and saying, aha, see, look, Leap got $75,000 from R.J. Reynolds from Big Tobacco. See, Big Tobacco, Big Marijuana. See, it's all the same. See. What a disgusting display from Kevin Sabet, because what this is really about is about prohibition. It's about these black leaders getting together and discussing whether or not prohibiting something would be better or worse for their community. And so when Art Way or Neil Franklin are there talking about that, they are against prohibition. They are anti-prohibition, not pro-tobacco. Just like pro-lifers can't understand being anti-abortion, but pro-choice. They make that same, they think it's pro-abortion, and that's not it at all.
Illegal!
All right, that sound means it's 20 after. Time for us to take our Union Manity safety briefing and for me to figure out who keeps ringing my doorbell. I'll be right back after this.
Everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Victory over drugs is our cause, a just cause.
All right, maybe you're high too. Warning, hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barack has sent him a package. Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. 21 after the hour. Kind of funny with the doorbell there. So I have this big sign, literally. It's like 13 by 19. It's huge. As we call it in the printing business, it's a Super B size, page size, right? Huge page on my front window that says, "Welcome to Delta 9 House, home of the Russ Belville Show. Attention, live recording between 3 and 5 weekdays. Do not ring the doorbell. Do not knock. Wait for a break. Text me." You know, I give them all the instructions of how to get a hold of me just for this 2-hour section, 3 to 5. And then there's another little sign. A little sign, it's like a little, 2-inch tall, 4-inch wide, by the doorbell that says, "Press and hold for doorbell chime." Because usually what happens is people come up to the doorbell and they just press it. They just go press real quick, right? And our doorbell's weird, right? You got to hold it down. So you just press it real quick. It goes dot, dot, right? Like very little, right? But if you hold it down, it goes dong, 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 dong. You have to hold it down, right? So how is it that the person that just came to my door was able to read the little tiny 2-inch sign to hold the thing down, but not the big 13 by 19 sign that said, "Don't ring the doorbell"? Just, yeah. All right. Let's get back to the show. Interesting development on the interwebs. We have noted how a lot of the websites for Donald Trump's administration have just disappeared, right? Like the websites that used to be there under Obama, just taken down. No replacement, just, you know, 404s, right? Gone. Well, there's a new development when it comes to the White House drug websites that was pointed out by a user on Twitter who noted that the DEA has changed one of its important drug facts sites. Now, this is the National Institute on Drug Abuse, NIDA. Their website's drugabuse.gov, right? And they have these series of drug facts. And the drug facts page for medical marijuana was revised just this month, just probably this last couple days, compared to its last revision. And its last revision, and I'm trying to find this on the Wayback Machine here. It's last time we looked at this site, February 27th, a month ago, it was different. And it showed its last revision was July of 2015. So there was a change made to the medical marijuana site for the National Institutes of Drug Abuse. And the biggest change, the one that was noted by the Twitter user, is that the page itself, which was previously titled, quote, "Is Marijuana Medicine?" has changed its title now. And the title now says, quote, "Marijuana as Medicine." That's amazing, folks. That is the federal government, the National Institute of Drug Abuse, no longer questioning that marijuana is medicine, but stating marijuana as medicine. Now, a lot of the text is the same. Yeah, we can compare these side by side, and I'm going to set them up on my desktop so I can do just that. So we compare these side by side. It's is marijuana medicine? Marijuana as medicine. They're drug facts. The beginning is the same. What is medical marijuana? The term medical marijuana refers to using the whole unprocessed marijuana plant or its basic extracts to treat a disease or symptom. The U.S. FDA has not recognized or approved the marijuana plant as medicine. First paragraph, exactly the same. Next one, exactly the same. Third one, just about exactly the same. They do say, because the marijuana plant contains chemicals that may help treat a range of illnesses or symptoms, many people argue that it should be legal for medical purposes. In fact, a growing number of states have legalized marijuana for medical use. On the old site, they linked back to the White House Drug Czar's page on state marijuana laws, but that link is gone in the new version because that page isn't up anymore. So the both sites continue. Why isn't the marijuana plant an FDA-approved medicine? And it talks about how the FDA requires clinical trials, and there are no large-scale trials. And they provide a link to their drug facts marijuana page, recreational marijuana page. Then they go on. What are cannabinoids? Both sites say cannabinoids are chemicals related to delta-9 tetrahydrocannabinol, marijuana's main mind-altering ingredient. There's... But this is interesting. In the old site, it said cannabinoids are chemicals related to delta-9 THC, marijuana's main mind-altering ingredient. To that, they've added that makes people high. So the Trump administration site says main mind-altering ingredient that makes people high, whereas the old version did not have that. They also point out that other than THC, the marijuana plant contains more than 100 other cannabinoids. Scientists, as well as illegal manufacturers, have produced many cannabinoids in the lab. Some of these cannabinoids are extremely powerful and have led to serious health effects when abused. Now, that's the old site, and they're talking about K2, spice, and all that. The new site provides a link to that, to their synthetic cannabinoids K2 spice thing. Now, it gets interesting here when they start talking about CBD, because the old site said, what is CBD? And talks about there's a growing interest in the marijuana chemical cannabidiol, childhood epilepsy, scientists are breeding plants with CBD. They're not popular for drugs because they're not intoxicating. But the title of that little sidebar on the new site says CBD and childhood epilepsy. So that kind of indicates they recognize people are seeking that information out, that the childhood epilepsy part has made a dent in the public's understanding. They also keep the same paragraph about the body's endocannabinoid system, saying the body produces its own cannabinoid chemicals. They play a role in regulating pleasure, memory, thinking, concentration, body movement, awareness of time, appetite, pain, and the senses. Then we get to the nitty-gritty here. How might cannabinoids be useful as medicine? And they provide the same lines when it comes to the two main cannabinoids, THC and CBD. With THC, they say it increases appetite, reduces nausea. Now, the old site also added the FDA-approved THC medications are used for these purposes. They took that sentence out in the new version. It's almost as if they don't want you to recognize that the FDA has approved THC as a medicine. Then in the part about CBD, the old site said CBD is a cannabinoid that does not affect the mind or behavior. It may be useful in reducing pain and inflammation, controlling epileptic seizures, and possibly even treating mental illness and addiction. The new site says, unlike THC, CBD is a cannabinoid that doesn't make people high. Once again, for the second time now, the new site brings up THC makes people high. But they continue with the rest of the paragraph. It may be useful in reducing pain and inflammation, controlling seizures, and possibly treating mental illness and addictions. Same paragraph just about on researchers exploring uses of THC and CBD. And the rest of the site continues. Now, there's a sidebar on medical marijuana and pregnancy in the new site. The new site says, using medical marijuana during and after pregnancy. Some women report using marijuana to treat severe nausea they have during pregnancy. But there's no research that shows that this practice is safe, and doctors generally don't recommend it. Pregnant women shouldn't use medical marijuana without first checking with their healthcare provider. Wait a minute. Did you catch that? The National Institute on Drug Abuse now says, pregnant women shouldn't use medical marijuana without first checking with their healthcare provider. That's huge. They're admitting that if your healthcare provider thinks it's cool, go right ahead, use medical marijuana. Now they continue by saying, animal studies have shown that moderate amounts of THC given to pregnant or nursing women could have long-lasting effects on the child, including abnormal patterns of social interactions and learning issues. Yeah, okay. Because you know how those Jamaican kids are. You know, those Rastafarian kids, those hippie kids. They're all crazy. They also continue on with a point on what medications contain cannabinoids. They bring up the two FDA-approved drugs, dronabinol and nabilone, otherwise known as Marinol and Sesamet. They bring up the UK, Canada, and European countries that are approving Nabiximols, or Sativex, and Epidiolex, the childhood CBD epilepsy thing. They bring that up as well. Now, the old site used to have a part that asked, are people with health and age-related problems more vulnerable to marijuana's risks? That doesn't exist on the new site anymore, as far as I can tell. Maybe, is it a sidebar that I missed? But oh, there it is. Yep, it's now on a sidebar. So they've included that as well. They say, state-approved medicinal use of marijuana is a fairly new practice. You know, it's only been around for 20 years. For that reason, marijuana's effects on people who are weakened because of age or illness are still relatively unknown. Older people and those suffering from diseases such as cancer or AIDS could be more vulnerable to the drug's harmful effects, but more research is needed. Oh, come on now. We got people that are in their 90s in California that have been using medical marijuana for 20 years. Give us a break. So that's the new point here is that the site has changed. It's now called Marijuana as Medicine. And they're admitting that pregnant women, if they check with their doctor, they ought to be able to use medical marijuana. I think that's a pretty big admission from the federal government. I'll write that up later for weednews.co. We'll dig deep into that. Big thanks goes out to Tom Angel and the Marijuana Moment newsletter. If you want a daily newsletter coming in early in the morning with links to all, literally, like Tom Angel has halved my prep time for this show. Because I get up every morning and I've got link after link after link to every state bill, to every federal bill, to every story, to every poll. If it broke in the news about marijuana, Tom Angel's on top of it. His newsletter is awesome. Check out marijuanamoment.net if you want to get subscribed to it. It's free to subscribe. He is looking for folks to be paid contributors, and I'll probably start contributing here pretty soon because, like I said, it's a godsend for my show. But great information out there, and we picked that tweet up off of that, so very interesting stuff. All right, now, as we continue, coming up in the next segment, I want to talk a little bit about a bill in Colorado that is, it's being made for people who are recreational marijuana licensees, so that if the feds crack down on recreational, they can transfer their license over to medical. You might be interested in what I think about that when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your Fired Up Lawyer, or email firedublawyer@gmail.com.
You're listening to The Russ Belville Show.
And it's the first time in 2 years, or in the first time in a year and a half, that I had a decent night's sleep because the arthritis pain was gone.
You can find Radical Russ online everywhere. Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
What is your major malfunction, numbnuts?
A public service message from the Russ Belville Show. Remember, friends, there's more to life than marijuana. I just can't remember what it is. Why'd I come in here? This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Checking up on the chat room. Roger B. brings up the point that if you're out there in the chat room, you need to like. Give us a like on this show. Helps raise more revenue on the show. Helps boost the show's profile. God knows I need it. It's been quite a journey. Like I mentioned earlier, today is show number 908. So this matches how many shows I did with normal. And it's kind of been frustrating. I'll be honest. It's been frustrating. Because as I had this show with normal, it came with kind of a built-in audience. Chris Goldstein had done a great job putting together a daily podcast from 2006 to 2008. And built that audience. And then I took it over and built the audience even more by continuing the podcast, turning it into a live show, expanding it, making it a lengthier show, and so forth. And then doing all the live reporting from different events and such. So we got to the point where the podcast was showing up in the top 10 iTunes, in the government and nonprofit organizations page, and just kicking ass. And then I got myself fired. And if you don't know, I've told the story before, but the long story short of it is I got myself fired because I'd raised some money and normal spent that money elsewhere. And I got pissed off about it and threw a temper tantrum on show number 909. So, like I said, tomorrow's new territory for me. And it's a kind of situation I learned a very valuable life lesson as a younger man. And that is that you can be absolutely right about something, but you can handle it absolutely wrong. And that's what I did. I handled it absolutely. If I'd have kept it on the down low, maybe took a day off or two, talked to some people behind the scenes, we could have cleared the whole thing up and it wouldn't have been an issue. But I'm a hothead sometimes. I get mad sometimes. And I especially get mad when I feel people are being, you know, screwed over. And my first instinct is to want to shout it from the rooftops. And that's what I did. And I shouldn't have. Anyway, I got myself fired. So I was fired like in the middle of May of 2012, and I didn't know what to do with my life because I had found the perfect career for me. It was the first time I'd ever felt like I'd had a career. Everything else I'd ever had to that point felt like a job. I got to go do this thing so I can make money to pay for rent and bills. Right? Every job I ever had felt that way. It wasn't something that I would have done had there not been a paycheck at the end of it. This, oh my God. From the minute I started in radio and started podcasting, I fell in love with it. And I continue to do it. Obviously not for the money. I mean, to the detriment of my net worth, I continue doing this because I found the perfect job for me. I found the job that mixed my natural gift of this funky baritone voice I got and my love of typing and writing and researching, my geek nature, my want to be a performer, to be in front of crowds, my love of travel, and of course, my love of marijuana. So it was a perfect job. I'm like, so I'm fired from my perfect job. And it was tough too, because there are not a lot of full-time salaried work from home jobs in the drug reform movement. There's just not a lot of them. And I had it and I blew it. So I lost my job in mid-May, but I couldn't imagine no longer doing it. But I just didn't know how I was going to keep doing it. How am I going to keep podcasting? How do you make money as a podcaster? How does that work? I still haven't quite cracked that nut, to be honest with you. Fortunately, I've had other jobs, and I've had wonderful supporters who've helped me out from time to time, and I've been able to keep doing it. But the problem that came with that is that losing the job at Normal meant I lost about half or more of the audience. A lot of them just because they didn't know where I'd gone to, and I was off the air for 3 weeks. But I started again. I thought, you know, I'm going to start it again. And I had the notion that I was going to start my own network again and run it, have my show on it. And that's for a very brief week or two. When I came back on June 4th, 2012, I was Potnet.us. I still own the domain, I think, Potnet.us. And it stood for Prohibition Opposition Television Network. Potnet, right? And that just went for a couple weeks before I realized, you know, I'm broke. I can't really do this. Then I had a benefactor swoop in who said, well, we're going to create National Cannabis Radio for you. We're going to build you a studio, and we'll have National Cannabis Radio, and we'll be at all the events. And had a lot of smoke blown up my skirt, but I believed it. So I transferred from Botnet to National Cannabis Radio. And then that lost me some listeners when they couldn't figure out, you know, where did he go now? So it was with National Cannabis Radio for a while until it became painfully obvious it wasn't going to get funded. It wasn't going to get any attention. So I left that one and went to doing it as 420 Radio. And again, lost a whole bunch of listeners and supporters from that transition. Because once again, where are you? Where have you gone? The feed has stopped working, whatever. So I've been doing 420 Radio for a while. Did that for a couple of years and came to the realization that a network is too big for me. I just can't do it. I can't do it by myself. So I turned 420 Radio over to Herb Thrasher, and he's running it now quite well as a radio network, as a music network. And I was brought into Cannabis Radio, an already existing network. And I'm thinking, great, finally a network. I'm already on a network, and now I can just do my show, and they'll promote the hell out of me, and they'll fly me places, and they'll get me banners, and it'll be all... No, it's a lot like my Huffington Post gig. Oh, yeah, we'll publish your stuff, but we can't pay you. I mean, this is just for exposure. Oh, okay. I'll tell my landlord that I'm paying my rent with exposure this month. So, again, in that transfer, lost a bunch of people, couldn't follow where I am. And since I've been there, the posting of my daily podcast has become not daily. So, like, the whole, like... cachet of my show is that it's now, it's urgent, it's today's news, or at least yesterday's news if you're listening it on the podcast the day before. What I'm saying isn't that interesting if you're listening to it 2 months later when it finally gets uploaded, or a month later, or 2 weeks later, or whenever it is. A daily podcast needs to be updated daily. People expect that. So now I'm on YouTube. Oh yeah, and in between all that, of course, there was a divorce and a couple different houses and a year of homelessness as well. So this has been a hell of a 908 show journey is what I'm trying to say to you. And I appreciate those of you who followed me from place to place to place to place, from feed to feed to feed. And I apologize. It hasn't been 8 years all in one place. I shudder to think where we'd be at if it was still normal and I was still doing that podcast with that same audience and promotion. I don't know. What I do know is I love doing this, and I'm going to keep doing it. I'm not sure at what level I will keep doing it. I don't know that I can keep doing 2 hours a day, 5 days a week after show 1000 or so. I don't know. I'd like to. I think I can. And there are opportunities coming. I've got all sorts of possibilities as far as, you know, promotions and sponsors and events and so forth. So we're not at Desperationville yet. But I am in this position where I'm needing as much help as I can get. I'm needing as many of you to share the show and promote the show and get people to donate as you can. I'm working diligently to try to get this new platform set up, but I want to make sure, because I want this to be the last time I move somewhere. I want this to be the place I land permanently. And so I'm doing a lot of due diligence to make sure it works exactly the way I expect, that I can do what I want to do, that I can afford. I've got to build up enough money to build it so that the premiere of it is as wonderful as I should hope it would be. So we're going to keep going. And I'm going to keep going as an independent artist. You can always, you know, understand that I'm doing this because I have my own personal agenda. I'll be straight up honest with you. I do this to end drug testing. That is my personal agenda, is to end drug testing for everything, for jobs, for healthcare, for criminal background checks, for everything. No more drug testing. No more. Not without a warrant. There can be some cases where, you know, there's been an accident, there's been something bad happened, but I am here to stop drug testing, and I'm doing it out of revenge because I lost my IT career because of drug testing. I do this out of personal reasons because I like to smoke weed, and I'd like to do it everywhere I travel. And I'd like to not worry about being busted. And I'd like to be able to buy weed in a store when I get there. There's no hidden agendas here. It's selfish. It's all about Russ. It's on the title of the show, The Russ Belville Show, right there. This is all about me. Now, what I want, I think, is a lot of what you want as well. And me going for my selfish agenda of keeping my ass out of jail and being able to buy weed everywhere I travel should provide lots of benefits for everyone else too. So I just don't want you to think that I think of myself as some sort of altruist, like I'm saving the world or, you know, doing anything of any meaning other than education. People ask, like, you're a journalist. I don't know. I'm not a journalist. I'm an educator. I'm a pundit. I'm a speaker. I'm a presenter. All I know is I want to talk about this. I want to educate people about this. I can't stand that people believe falsehoods about this. I can't believe that people confronted with the reality about this continue to deny it. I abhor the segregation of people based on a physical or immutable characteristic or a choice or a belief. I do this because it's about freedom and it aligns with my values. I'm not doing this to get rich. I wouldn't turn down getting rich for it. Okay, I'm not against being rich. I'm just telling you, this is a personal thing for me. And I think it's a personal thing for you too, or else you wouldn't be coming here and listening to me talk every day. It's personal. It affects people's lives. It's not it's not a business. There's a part of me, it's like, I'm a little bored with who's going to get rich and how they're going to get rich and who's got the latest machine and how this latest machine is great and how this margin and that profit. And I don't care. I never cared about who was getting rich when I was smoking illegal weed. I don't care about who's getting rich when I'm smoking legal weed. That's the money part don't enter into it for me. What enters into it for me is remembering those times when I got that shudder of fear, that ice cold bolt down your spine because you got weed on you and there's a cop car behind you. And is he going to turn on the lights? Am I driving okay? Am I in my lane? Did I do everything right? Is this the night that I go to jail and lose my job because I can't make bail? I do this for those 6 hours that I spent sitting in a holding cell in Box Elder County, Utah, because the tint on our car's windows was too dark, because there was a Rastafarian in the car, and because if we bust people for weed, we can make an easy arrest. I do this for friends of mine who need this as medicine. People I've known who are no longer with us who have died from cancer. This is not about the money for me, but I do need some money to keep doing it.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
I think it'd be a mistake to legalize.
Okay, well, maybe you're high, too.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about dealing with police. Whether marijuana is legal in your state, whether you're a medical marijuana patient, or whether you're a cannabis consumer just trying to survive under prohibition, you should always affirmatively assert your rights in a police encounter. This means you don't answer police questions without your attorney present, and you never consent to a search. Police are not your friend. Besides showing your insurance, registration, and driver's license, there are only three things you should be saying and one thing you should be doing. I cannot answer further questions without my attorney present. I do not consent to any searches. Am I under arrest or am I free to go? And then leave once you've been cleared to go. Don't stick around for any little talks the officer wants to have. Learn this lesson well, and unlike me, you won't have a criminal record. This has been a public service announcement from the Russ Belville Show.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. As we close up shop today, yet another reason why show number 908 is special. Up on the screen, I have got a report from one of our opponents that I have to praise for its presentation of data. I know, weird, huh? Especially when you find out that the opponent I'm talking about in this particular scenario is Sue Roosh and her National Families in Action. Now, she likes to call the group National Families in Action. I call it National Families in Action. So whatever. But the report is entitled Tracking the Money That's Legalizing Marijuana and Why It Matters. Okay. And I was drawn to it because it started with this colorful little graph. You know me, I like the graphs. And this colorful little graph shows us the funding of marijuana measures throughout time. Looking across the bottom, we've got bar graphs that go from 2016 all the way on the right, all the way back through each year that had marijuana reform efforts, all the way back to 1966. Yes, on the front page of their report that they produced for the media to track the money in marijuana legalization, they typoed the 1996 Arizona amendment, that's the first bar, and the 1996 California amendment, that's the second bar. They typoed them as 1966. So, there you go. Little fact checking from the sober people. Anyway, on this graph, Yeah, and those of you listening, of course, can't see the graph. But on this graph, you'll find 96, 98, 2000, 2002, 2004, 2006, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2012, 2014, 2015, and 2016. And on all of those bars but one, there's a significant amount of green. Now, this is one of those percentage bar graphs, so it's not trying to show us that every year the same amount of money was spent. It's showing the relative percentages donated by each group, and every bar reaches 100%. The only bar that has no green in it is 2015. That would be the Ohio legalization, right? Anyway, what the green stands for is the percentage of money in those campaigns that came from the three billionaires that came from George Soros, Peter Lewis, John Sperling. So as you can see, almost all of them, except one, had major input from the three billionaires. And the majority of their money came from the three billionaires. And for at least five of them, almost all their money came from the three billionaires. Now, the other part that they put on here is the amount of money that came from the marijuana industry. Marijuana industry money is shown in blue. The darker blue is out-of-state marijuana industry. Lighter blue, in-state marijuana industry. So 2010, for example, shows a huge amount of in-state marijuana industry. And then 2015 is almost all in-state marijuana industry, because that was the one that was funded by the investors in the Ohio Issue 3 thing. The red and the fuchsia there, the purple, represent the contributions from people. Red being people out of state, purple being people in state. And then finally, the last one they show is the opponents in yellow. And as you can see, there's very little money in comparison raised by the opponents of reform. Now, I know why National Families in Action is doing this. They want to scare the hell out of the parents. They want to scare the hell out of the anti-drug people and say, look, oh my God, we're overwhelmed by these three billionaires. Oh, these three billionaires are put, oh my God, they've got all their money. They're convincing everyone to legalize weed. Look at our tiny little yellow slivers. We can't compete. Won't you give us money? And to me, I just see a bar graph that shows lousy fundraising on their part. First of all, it's notable they don't divide the yellow into a yellow and a darker gold to signify opponents that are in state versus opponents that are out of state. That dog only hunts when we're talking about the marijuana industry, and the people doesn't float for the opponents there, right? Okay, I gotcha. But to me, this is a graph that just shows lousy fundraising, right? To me, this shows that people who bet with their money, because really, that is what a initiative grant is. When you're giving money to an initiative, it's a bet. It's like you're betting that your side's going to win, and you're putting your money where your mouth is. So what is it about the prohibition message that fails to generate any money for these people in these campaigns? That's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is how those yellow bars show nothing of the amount of money that people like Kevin Sabet and Sue Roosh managed to weasel through drug-free community grants in the guise of drug education, which is little more than thinly veiled anti-legalization campaigns like they tried to pull off here in Oregon. Those yellow bars also don't show us the significant amount of money that the federal and state and local governments spend daily on anti-drug education that's mostly false, this ongoing propaganda campaign where we only every 2 years or so in a few states put together some money in those states. This doesn't count all 50 states where they're putting anti-drug efforts forward. Hey folks, that's all the time we got today. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, take care of each other, tookers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you're planning to.
you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show.
Shanna, jag heter David, PKA Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
Okay, maybe you're high too.